Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, it's Bucks Weekly. Less than 24 hours after the Bucks bounced back, I guess is really the most accurate way of putting it. Still a very, very strong chance at that one seed. Two games up on the Celtics and four games remaining for both teams. No NBA games played tonight as the league takes the night off to give the spotlight to the national championship. But back at it tomorrow with the Bucks in D.C. taking on the Wizards. We will preview that game momentarily. And we got to keep our eye on what the Boston Celtics are doing or do as well. Tomorrow, Celtics have the 76ers on the road in Philly. It is their most difficult remaining game on the schedule on paper. But I am very curious to see what the 76ers will look like tomorrow. They are basically locked into the three seed. So if you're Philly, you're not going to match the Celtics in this head-to-head series. Boston has had their number not only this year, but the last few years. And you pretty much know we're going to be the three. Good chance, very, very good chance the Boston Celtics are going to be the two seed. So if all goes to plan, this is going to be our opponent in the second round. So how does that change or shape your motivation for that game tomorrow? How much are you actually going to reveal? Now, it's not like football. I talked about this before. It's not like the NFL where we want to keep the game plan under wraps. But there are some things, you know, like how you line up defensively, any other wrinkles you're going to throw out there, save it. Throw it out there in the playoffs and let them react and make that halftime adjustment. So I'm going to be curious to see what we actually see in that game tomorrow. But here's what we know. As long as you keep winning, you're the one seed. The magic number is down to three games. It can get down to just one tomorrow. If you beat the Wizards and if the 76ers give you some more help and beat the Boston Celtics. Last night was big for a number of reasons. I talked about this on Bucks Shootaround with Greg Matzik before the game. I talked about it with my good friends, Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher on Wilde and Tausch, which you can hear on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, even ESPN Beaver Dam, so statewide here. That, you know, that game last night was big because disappointing loss, to say the least, against the Boston Celtics on Thursday. And I would stop just short of saying it was alarming because Bucks have been very, very good since Chris Middleton returned. It's, I think 27-6 in their last 30-some games. A lot of wins, very few losses. But here's what sticks out. You've had now four games you would file as a test in this portion of the schedule. Those Philadelphia 76ers, your second game out of the All-Star break, 16-game win streak, comes to an end when the Bucks played very, very poorly in the fourth quarter, and Philly came back from down 18 in the third to beat you. Then you get to Denver, where you face the Nuggets, and this was, hey, an MVP type of showdown with the Nuggets and the Bucks, Giannis and Nikola Jokic. Yes, it was night two of a back-to-back, but Bucks were blown out in the second half, lose that game. Then, of course, you have the massacre Thursday inside of Fiserv Forum where the Celtics just obliterated you. And now, out of the chute here, second half of the schedule, you're 0-3 in your biggest games. You can point to the win percentage. You can point to the run in the 35 or so games where you were winning most of them. You've been the best team by record since the All-Star break, really since January. All of that is great, but what about those three big games and how you fared in them? That was the discouraging part. So that win last night was important because it's, hey, let's fix this. To a man, everybody in that locker room said, look, that didn't sit well with us, and I would hope it didn't. But, you know, at practice on Saturday, after the game as well, and the media availability on Thursday night, you heard we're going to be a different team. You know, we'll come out. You'll see a different version of the Bucks, more or less, on Sunday. And that's exactly what we saw. So it was big there to kind of move past what happened Thursday. You're still not going to erase it. It's still going to linger. You're always going to remember, well, haven't really fared that well against the Celtics. Obviously, Boston's going to be extremely confident against you. But you had to move past it, and that one was big there. And also big because now Magic numbers, as you mentioned, goes from 4 down to 3. So we'll take a look at what is out there for the injury reports across the league, what to expect in that series. I'm very curious to see series game. Very curious to see what happens in Philadelphia between the Celtics and the 76ers. But you cannot look past the Washington Wizards. It was 1 week ago. On Bucks Weekly, we're in this very room. We saw the Wizards beat the Celtics. You thought, man, it's locked up. This is it. This is all we needed. Now you beat the Celtics and you're going to be the one seed. The point being, it happened to the Celtics last week. The Wizards have officially been eliminated from the playoffs. So on the surface, you'd say, well, that's the good news. Nothing to play for. What they have to play for is to be the spoiler. And they beat the Celtics last week shorthanded. So you still have to take care of business tomorrow. We'll preview that game, get you set for Tuesday as the league resumes their schedule, and take a closer look at the rest of this week. It's finally here, final week of the regular season, so we'll lay out everything you need to know in these final four games for the Bucks, for the rest of the Eastern Conference as well. But up next, we'll hand things off to Gale Klappa, as this week he has his conversation with Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer. It's courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks after this on Bucks Weekly.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team from on the court to off.
You never know. You might not have that many years left, so the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this. I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. It was an impressive bounce-back win. The Bucks sending Joel Embiid and the 76ers back to Philly. But there's unfinished business to take care of. And the challenge can be summed up in three numbers, 6, 4, and 3. 6 days, 4 games, and a magic number of 3. Any combination of 3 Bucks wins and Celtics losses will seal the deal, give the Bucks the top seed in the East and the potential for home court advantage throughout the playoffs. It should be a barn burner of a week ahead. To talk about it all, we're joined by the guy who has the best perspective on the court, the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer. Welcome, Coach. Thanks for taking time to be with us here on Courtside.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Gale.
Well, Coach, one of your mantras is contest without fouling, and that may have been an important key to the victory over the 76ers Sunday night. Coach, they only got to the free throw line 13 times. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really, really big challenge against two of the best guys at drawing fouls and creating contact and getting to the free throw lines and Harden and Embiid. So, you know, there's a lot of time and kind of attention to detail that goes into trying to make that happen. And so it's a kind of a game within the game. And you know, last night the guys' discipline and execution was really good. And so, you got to be prepared for that. And most when you play the great players, you know, and great teams, that's keeping them off the free throw line is always something that's usually important for us.
And it looked like, from the sideline, it looked like Drew Holiday carried a lot of the load against the dude with the beard, James Harden.
Yeah, no, Drew, I think those two guys go back to Pac-10, Pac-12 days. I think they've been looking across the game at each other for a long time, and so I think there's a ton of respect. And Drew, relishes those challenges and taking on the best guys in the league. And Harden's certainly one of those. So it's fun to watch that competition and watch those two guys go at each other.
Amen.
And, Coach, obviously we were disappointed with our performance against the Celtics late last week. You've been in the NBA coaching ranks for a long time. I'm just curious. I know that you develop an intuitive feel for the pulse of a team, but can you tell going into a game what kind of night it's going to be?
No, I mean, you know, we're all competitive. That juice, you know, starts flowing before the game. And, you know, I think we go into every game expecting our best and, you know, have a, you know, success. And, you know, reality is we're human. And you know, as you work your way through that 48 minutes, you know, some nights it's just not your night. And a lot of credit to Boston and those guys, what they did. You know, they were really good. And you know, we weren't our best. So, you know, but to say you could feel that before in the locker room or anything like that, I've never felt that, no.
No, that makes sense. I was just curious. And of course, in Sunday night's game, shifting back to the 76ers, Grayson Allen left the court in obvious pain, favoring an ankle. Any update on Grayson's status, Coach?
You know, what we were told last night is, you know, we're hoping for something that's mild to moderate. And, you know, so we'll see. I haven't gotten a report, you know, today, you know, 24 hours after. And, you know, when I get that, I'll probably know more. And I think, you know, we're going to just, you know, see how the next few days go and see how he responds. But I think, you know, I feel like the information was actually, you know, pretty positive considering, you know, some of the alternatives.
Well, fingers crossed. And, Coach, here on Courtside, we were visiting with Chris Middleton last week, and he said he feels back to normal after recovering from, of course, multiple injuries over the past year. Coach, he looks like the old Chris, particularly when he goes up for that mid-range jump shot. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think Chris is, you know, doing a lot of things really well offensively. You know, we rely on Chris in so many different ways. He's really a great playmaker from us at the small forward position, a guy that can play one-on-one and get, you know, mid-range tough shots and make them at a high rate. You know, great pick-and-roll player both with Giannis and Brooke and an elite shooter. And so, you know, I see a lot of, you know, just what we've expected from Chris, you know, over the last 5 years. And, you know, we've won a lot of games since Chris came back. And, you know, I think he's played a big role in the record and everything that we've done, you know, over the last couple months.
And it looks like Bobby Portis is finding his feel for the three-point shot again after a little bit of a dip at points this season. But, Coach, I assume you agree he's got to be a great candidate for sixth man of the year.
Yeah, no, Bobby's been great all year. And, you know, his three-point shooting is a really important part of what we do. And, you know, we really believe in him. We want him to keep shooting them. And you know, I think what he's done, you know, from the start of the season to now, just the production off the bench, you know, I can't think of anybody that's really produced like he does with rebounds and points and winning. And so hopefully, you know, he's in that conversation and somebody that that people appreciate what he does every night.
And of course he's become Milwaukee's second mayor, right, Coach?
Yeah, no, I mean, the fans love him here. You know he's a big part of, you know, all the success, and you know, he gives it to the fans, they give it back. It's a lot of fun to, you know, be a part of that.
We'll have more with Coach Bud in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gale Klappa with the head coach of the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer.
Coach, the playoffs are less than literally 2 weeks away. And everyone says the playoffs are a completely different animal than the regular season. Tell our listeners, if you will, about the two or three most important factors that separate the playoffs from the routine of the regular season.
Well, you know, I mean, I think there is a real difference when it comes to playoff times. You know, I think the level of, you know, your opponent kind of scouting you, knowing what you do, prepared, you know, both us and them, you know, the preparation just goes to a whole nother level. You know, I think that the defense, you know, again, part of the preparation, defense, you know, lots of times goes to the next level. The effort and the activity, you know, is everybody's best. And, you know, I think the great players relish the playoffs, and they want to win it. You know, there's great moments and great things that happen with great players and great teams in the playoffs. And so it's an exciting time of the year, and, you know, we're getting very close.
And, Coach, this year, again, there will be a play-in tournament for the teams that I believe rank 7 through 10 in each conference. Level set everyone, if you will, on how that play-in tournament works and how we will then finally know who we will be playing in round one.
Yeah, I might screw it up. I'm not sure I'm the right one to ask this question, but I'll try my best. You know, I think 7 and 8 in the East will play each other, and the winner of that game is in as the 7th seed. And then the loser of that 7-8 game will play the winner of the 9-10. So 9-10 will play each other. The loser's done. And the winner then gets the opportunity to play the loser of the 7-8. And the winner of that game, the second game, is the 8 seed. And so those games, I don't know if the league is already established. You know, I think they happen, you know, kind of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of you know, the week after the regular season. It's an exciting addition that the league has happened, added. I think it's been really good for the league and accomplished a lot of things besides just creating, you know, the excitement around those games and the standings and everything like that. So it's been good.
So, Coach, I think that means the Bucks will get perhaps almost an entire week of rest after the regular season ends. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is, you know, the way that works now with the play-in tournament. You end up with, you know, very close to, if not a full week of rest without games. And, you know, sometimes that's actually probably too long, and you guys want to kind of get going and keep a rhythm and everything. But, you know, rest is always can be good for the body too, and you know, have our guys kind of heal up a little bit and just have, you know, their legs and their bodies ready to go for a, you know, a long playoff run.
Giannis, of course, continues to amaze. And when you ask folks around the league, you hear a consistent refrain that Giannis has become a smarter player, that he no longer just relies on brute force. Coach, you see Giannis up close and personal every day. What's your take?
Yeah, you know, I think agree, and I think that's, you know, part of our evolution as a team, and, you know, we're pushing all the players individually to grow and improve and get better, and part of that's the, you know, the intellectual side or the IQ side of the game. And Giannis has always been very smart, but I think, you know, he keeps pushing himself to understand the game, you know, at a higher level. And you know, I think you see it in his play. You see it in you know, whether it be passes or getting to actions and understanding angles and spacing and where people are on the court, you know, avoiding charges, things like that. So, yeah, no, I think that, you know, that's the goal for Giannis, is to keep improving, keep getting better. And we feel like he's doing that. And that's, you know, to be as good as he is and keep getting better, you know, this makes him, you know, even more special.
More with Coach Bud right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gail Klappa with Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer.
Coach, both Giannis and Brook Lopez credit one of your assistant coaches, Vin Baker, with really helping to improve their offensive games. Vin has clearly earned the respect of both of those superstars.
Yeah, no, I mean, it starts with Vin just being a great human. You know, I think everybody loves being around Vin, and he's just got such a great spirit, great energy, and then he's got just a wealth of knowledge. You know, he was an incredible NBA player. He did a lot in his career, and now he's able to, you know, I think learn, you know, what we're doing, what's important to the Bucks, what's important to me and our system, and then kind of, you know, take what he's learned during his career and apply it. And I think it's just, you know, been something that's really beneficial to, you know, to, like you said, Brooke and Giannis, sure, but really the whole team, and to me as an assistant coach, couldn't be happier with Vin. He does a great job. We're really, really lucky to have him.
And, Coach, one more question about Giannis. Where do you think he stands in the conversation for the Most Valuable Player Award?
At the top. He's the guy. Yeah, that's easy. He's our guy. You know, I think the best player on the best team, you know, we got a little bit more work to do this week to secure the best record. But, you know, I don't think you should ever get bored with how great Giannis is and how special he is and what he does to impact the game on both ends of the court. And, you know, all the guys, if you're in the NBA MVP conversation, you're having a fantastic year. And, but I just, you know, what Giannis does defensively, offensively, just everything, how he leads our team, the consistency, you know, he's an MVP in my book. And, you know, every year, every day, every night, we feel like we're going out there with the MVP of our league.
And Coach, there should be another award coming at the end of the season, Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, I would love it if Brooke Lopez, you know, could bring that home. That would, you know, we feel like he changes the game defensively, has a huge impact to the positive for us. A lot of things we do are built around his unique special gifts. You know, think that the top team in defensively in the NBA, non-garbage time. And, you know, he's just, the things he does are very, very special. And so certainly hopeful that that he's, you know, receives and is deserving and earns that award. That would be special for him.
And, Coach, I know that one of your goals as you entered the season, and now looking back over almost the entire year, one of your goals was to sharpen, improve, be quicker in a set half-court offense. How do you feel you've come along against that goal?
You know, at times I think that there's been real improvement, and when, you know, we're focused and we're moving and we have a pop to us, you know, we're better. And some nights, you know, we don't have it like we need to. But I think it's good once you've seen it, once you've felt it, and you can kind of go back to that memory card. You know, I think we're going to be better going into the playoffs.
And how about Javon Carter? He has surprised everyone. Came to the Bucks obviously with a great reputation for being an incredible defensive player, but my goodness, he has really come on, particularly from three-point land.
Yeah, no, he's been a great addition. His three-point shooting is really a difference maker for us, and kind of gives us a wild card off the bench, a wild card that, you know, kind of momentum-wise, he can, you know, pop a couple threes and, you know, really kind of change the feel of the game. And, you know, he obviously does that defensively too. But, you know, now he's got multiple ways where he's changing games and making an impact. And really happy for him. He's been a big part of what we've done so far this year.
And Joe Ingles making a difference, particularly with his passing ability when you put him in, when you insert him in the rotation. How much time do you think Joe and others will get as we get into the playoffs? I know you shrink the rotation, as do many teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, we're excited about what Joe, you know, has brought and his playmaking ability to attack from different places and, you know, maybe be able to go at weaker defenders and things like that. So, you know, and his role in the playoffs, I think, will be significant. You know, we're really excited about, you know, how that can be taken advantage of. And but we got a lot of good players. You know, that's going to be, I think, a real strength for us. And just whatever it takes to win games in the playoffs is what you got to do.
And, Coach, we all know that the health of the players is so important to success in the playoffs. Other than Grayson Allen's injury last night, how does the roster stack up health-wise?
Yeah, I think we're in a pretty good place, you know, considering, you know, it's a long season, lots of things happen. You know, I think we're hopeful that Myers Leonard will play this week. And, you know, so I think he, you know, is the only one that's been on the injured list the last couple days. And now Grayson will be on it, but we're hoping that that's short term for Grayson. So, you know, I think overall we're in a pretty decent spot.
That's great to hear. And finally, Coach, I know that you're a big March Madness fan. I understand that your goal in life at one time was to be a college coach. But do you have a favorite in tonight's big-time NCAA championship?
Well, I've watched just enough to say that I guess I'm going with everybody else's UConn pick. They've looked phenomenal in this tournament, and but I hope it's a great game. And I'm never disappointed when there's an upset or an underdog does something special. So it's going to be fun to watch. I know the whole country will be watching. It's a fun time of the year for basketball fans. So I'm hoping for a great game.
Well, so are we. And, Coach, thank you so much for your time. Always great to visit with you. Best of luck this coming week as you try to seal the deal for Eastern Conference supremacy. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, my thanks to Gale Klappa and head coach Mike Budenholzer. If you missed any of that conversation, you can get it on the podcast as well. Just search for Bucks Weekly. I mentioned the schedule coming up here for the Bucks, and specifically tomorrow's games. So getting you up to speed on the injury report for, first and foremost, the Bucks in D.C. to take on the Wizards. Grayson Allen is out with a right ankle sprain. Missed the second half of the game yesterday against the 76ers. But we heard from Bud afterwards. They were very, very optimistic. It was nothing serious. He was told it was nothing serious, and they were optimistic it wasn't going to cost him any time. We know it's going to cost him at least a game. But when we reveal the Wizards' schedule, I think you'll see why the injury report looks as it does for the Bucks tomorrow against the Wizards. So Grayson Allen is out. Chris Middleton is out as well. He is going to finish the season not playing in both games of a back-to-back, as this is it. Tomorrow and then Wednesday against the Bulls. So Chris is going to sit tomorrow, presumably to play against the Bulls on Wednesday. Javon Carter was on the injury report with left knee soreness yesterday. He was questionable. He played. He is listed as probable. And Myers Leonard has been out for, about 2 weeks now? He's also probable after it sounds like he's recovered from that calf soreness. For the Wizards, and I'm going to preface with this, they had a similar injury report a week ago against the Boston Celtics, and they ended up winning that game. So file that away. But for the Wizards, Bradley Beal is out with left knee soreness. Kyle Kuzma is out with right ankle soreness. Kristaps Porzingis is out with a non-COVID illness. And Monte Morris is out with right ankle soreness. I know I mentioned illness, ankle soreness, ankle sprain, left knee soreness. It is basically, we can boil it down to two words, right, Tommy? Draft lottery is where the Wizards are. They have officially been eliminated from the postseason. And I know guys have missed games recently, but this is the Wizards saying, look, we probably weren't going to make the playoffs or the play-in tournament to begin with. Let's see how low we can get in the standings. And right now, the Wizards, if you went just by standings, the order in the standings, and not the draft lottery, the Wizards would have the eighth pick in the draft. So this is the Wizards saying, yeah, it's over. Let's see if we can't dip below the Magic and the Pacers, maybe even the Blazers, because that's it. You have a handful of teams, the Jazz, the Wizards, the Magic, the Pacers, and the Blazers. They're all separated by three games. All of those teams can get down to five. Now, it's one through four where your chances of winning the draft lottery significantly increase. But still, you could have the fifth pick in the draft.
Is it the top four all the same odds or top three?
Oh, boy, Tommy. Now you're...
I was just double-checking. It's 14%, I'm pretty sure.
I believe they're all within... Now I'm questioning it as well.
I was just curious to see, because if you have the eighth overall, if you have the eighth worst record, you now have the fifth best odds, right? You really would think.
Really calling out my subject matter expertise with what you're doing here, but I believe it is four, and that's how they rounded it out. So it's essentially one through four. One through three have the exact same odds. They're all 14%. Four is 12.5%. Okay. Five is 10.5%. And then it starts to dip, but still not significant. I mean, 9% chance if you're the sixth worst record, where the Wizards currently sit is eighth. That's a 4.5%. And 10, 9, 8 all have a 4.5% chance. So really, the goal for any of those teams, when you know, well, we're not going to finish in the top three or bottom three, as this would be, the goal for all of those teams is, can we at least get to seven?
Right, right.
Because, you know, eight and above is when it's just 4.5%. So you look at the standings, and right now, the Magic are the team that's seven. So if you're the Magic, they've been a pretty nice story in the second half of the season. They just won the other night again. But, hey, if you're Orlando, it's all well and good to say, hey, we got to build some winning habits. We got to build up the culture, and let's start to win some games. Let's keep these newfound Magic fans excited about the future of this team. You also have to be smart and play for the future. And I know future is a word you've used a lot if you're in Orlando. But, you know, at some point you got to look at it and say, well, shouldn't we start losing? Like, isn't it better off for us to start losing here and see if we can finish seventh? And same with the Utah Jazz. You know, we mentioned the Celtics had just lost to the Jazz after that game against the Bucks, the bloodbath against the Bucks last Thursday. Hey, they lost to the Jazz a week ago. You know, maybe this will work out. It's night two of a back-to-back tomorrow. They got the Utah Jazz. And then you look at the standings and realize, well, Jazz were hovering around the playoffs, but what is the incentive for the Utah Jazz to be into the play-in tournament? That's another team that should start to lose. So to me, it is going to be very, very interesting to watch the conclusion of this season, because the Blazers, the Pacers, the Magic, the Wizards, and the Jazz are all separated by three games. That's 9 through 5, separated by three games. And here's the even more fascinating slash interesting part. This is Bucks Weekly, but we tackle all things NBA. What is going on in Dallas, to me, is the non-playoff story of the finish to the season, because there has been some rumblings that the Mavs, they're not officially eliminated. They have their work cut out for them, to put it mildly, after losing again yesterday to the Atlanta Hawks. There's a fascinating subplot to the Hawks as well I do want to get to, but they lost that game, so they're still back of the Oklahoma City Thunder, behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, I should say, to get that final spot in the play-in tournament. They're a game back of the Thunder. They have three games left. The Thunder have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So the Mavs, basically, at this point, you almost have to go 3-0. I know you can still get it. If we go 2-1 and then the Thunder do this, we can still catch them. You got to go 3-0 at this point. Not a whole lot of ground, or not a whole lot of time to make up that ground. And Mavs have already shipped out a lot of draft assets, especially that Kyrie Irving trade. It's top 10 protected, the pick. So if you're the Mavs, do you say, hey, we don't think we're going anywhere this year. Odds are not in our favor to get into the play-in tournament. Maybe it's Operation Shutdown in Dallas, too. And what are the ramifications of that with Luka Doncic a couple of years away from free agency? We don't have time to get to it on tonight's show, but tomorrow night on Bucks Talk after the Wizards game, let's hope we're digesting a Bucks win. Again, you won't have Chris Middleton. You won't have Grayson Allen. But I do want to spend some time on the postgame show tomorrow talking about the CBA and the ramifications from that, because on the surface, it doesn't seem like there's some interesting parts to this. Some of it is, who's really asking for this to me? But it doesn't seem like a lot of what came out of this new CBA is going to be good for the Bucks. So we'll get into that discussion on Bucks Talk tomorrow night. But when we come back, we do this after every game. I've had a day off. There's no NBA games tonight, so these numbers are not going to change. The latest in the Bucks' chances to clinch that one seed, and what the rest of the East looks like, as the results last night moved us very, very close to, I think, the first six teams being locked in. We'll take a look at it and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. So with that Bucks win last night, 56-22 on the season. Boston Celtics are 54-24. They hold the head-to-head tiebreaker. So what that means is you cannot go 2-2 in these final four games unless the Celtics drop at least one game. If you go 2-2 and Boston goes 3-1, you're the one seed. If the Celtics win out, you have to win at least three games. Otherwise, the Celtics, if you finish tied, they're the one seed. By the numbers right now, I don't know if you cheated, Tommy, a guess. Your guess on the percent odds chances, the Bucks. I don't know how to phrase it, but the percentage that we have for the Bucks to clinch that one seed.
The percent chance the Bucks have to get the one seed. Great. Yeah, well, on my rankings, we're at about 128% right now. That's Tommy Math, Tommy Projections. Follow me wherever you get your projections. And then I'm going to say 95%.
The TWI?
TWP.
I was going for index there, but okay. 95% is what you're going with?
Yeah, it was pretty high last time I remember hearing it.
It hasn't been 90 yet, so relax.
Oh, well, it should be.
88% is what they give the Bucks to clinch that one seed. 88% is the chances the Celtics have to finish second. And the 76ers are walled off. So it's going to be the Bucks or the Celtics that get the one seed. Sixers at this point are three games back of the Celtics. And they do not have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Four games left. So it's over for Philadelphia. 99% chance they are going to be the three seed. It's essentially over. They got to win out. They need the Celtics to lose out in order to move up. So I shouldn't say they're walled off, but it's basically curtains for Philly at anything but three. Cavaliers are going to be four. They're also at 99%. We've known that for quite some time. And the Knicks are going to be five. They're at a 98% chance. At this point, the Brooklyn Nets are two up on the Miami Heat in that 6-7 matchup. The Nets own the head-to-head tiebreaker, so that's the same situation where you're two up with four games left. You're basically three up with the tiebreaker, so they have even greater chance than the Bucks do in their odds to hold off the Celtics. So the Nets are basically going to be the sixth seed. So we know 3, 4, 5, 6 is going to be the Sixers, the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Nets. So as the Tommy Wirtz Index would put it, we know what two of the first-round matchups are. As for the Bucks, tomorrow night in D.C., they take on the Wizards. It's a 6 o'clock tip. We'll have Bucks Talk after the game. And we should note that game and Bucks Talk will be on 94.5 ESPN. So if you're looking for the Bucks and looking for Bucks Talk tomorrow, flip over to 94.5 ESPN. We'll have the game and the post-game afterwards. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. Gale Klompa and head coach Mike Budenholzer, and everybody for tuning in as well. Talk to you tomorrow night on ESPN with Bucks Talk.